It was a tough decision. It wasn't something, I wasn't looking for a job. I was recruited by this company, Cisco Technologies. I've done some speaking engagements in the past 2 years about police and technology at different law enforcement functions, and I understand some of the future directions of where, you know, where technology is leaving. I mean, most police officers certainly can read the tea leaves about, you know, technology in the last, you know, decade, 2 decades have changed dramatically. The day-to-day use of technology, our cell phones, our TVs, you know, or certainly our computers, progressing at an extraordinary rate. And the same thing in our occupation, that, you know, the technology can be very, very helpful. But it's important from a police chief and a city standpoint to make sure that the technology is working for the police department, that we're not working for the technology. And we certainly don't want to buy technology that's going to saddle the city with reoccurring costs. You know, there's a lot of great technology out there and some software and some hardware that could be beneficial in police investigations or scheduling or records management. But with those, you have the initial cost to get the product, and then you have to have the reoccurring cost of maintenance and updates. You know, to simplify it, it's like getting a cell phone and then finding out that god-awful monthly fee that comes with all the data used and text messages and phone calls. So, you know, it has to be really managed. And, you know, that's an important part that we've seen through the years. It's a nice balance of let's be as technologically advanced as we can be, yet be affordable. We've also been extremely fortunate that we've been involved in this drug asset forfeiture program through the federal government where money is seized from drug dealers, and that money is then used to help us enhance the department and technology, equipment, building maintenance, etc. And that's actually has our department one of the best equipped and best trained departments around, because we've had access to taking the bad guy's money and using it for a good cause.
You've been working now for so many years. How has the technology changed, and has crime also changed, and the way you respond to it?
In short, crime has changed. You know, criminals are more sophisticated. They use technology to their benefits to commit crimes, to hide their crimes. Things that, you know, years ago that was mail fraud is now computer fraud. I mean, mail fraud still exists, of course. Now people are using technology to target and find their victims. You know, there's drug dealers using the internet to sell drugs. So it's made it difficult, but as they progress and get more sophisticated, so don't the police departments. And so if something changes for a criminal who's going to use some kind of technology to benefit them, we have to use the same type of technology to outsmart them. And we do it well. Again, the difficult part is that, you know, the police department, you know, above board have to buy the technologies and have to maintain the level of training and expertise to run current with that level of sophistication.
Community policing has been in the news a lot this year. What's your perspective regarding community policing in Plattsburgh?
That's a great question. You know, community policing is the most fundamental idea. For police operations to work well, you really need to have the trust of the public that you're going to enforce and carry out, you know, that duty unbiased, unprejudiced. I mean, you want to make sure that your officers are, you know, not targeting certain groups of people, or, you know, and those things are illegal, of course. But what happens is if there's misunderstandings or if there's situations where there's mistrust, community policing hopefully can bridge that gap. Getting our officers out into the community, you know, foot patrols, you know, going to businesses, special events. We really want to try to interact with the community outside of a day-to-day law enforcement function. Listen, let's be honest. No one's calling the police up and saying, hey, come over for, you know, a slice of ham on a holiday. That's not what happens. People call the police because bad things are happening. We would obviously like to interact with our community on positive notes, and to let them know that we're there, and, you know, that we're highly trained, that we're people, and we want to do the best job we can do. When you see all this stuff across the nation about transparency and mistrust of police. A lot of it is miscommunication. You know, anybody, any occupation knows that they've heard people talking about a water cooler and saying, you know, it's spreading rumor. And you kill those things with facts. And when people think that police are doing something or should be doing something a certain way, if we can have community functions where we can answer those questions and kill any kind of misunderstandings with facts, it's great. And again, when you see a cop walking down the street, typically people say something's going on. I just saw a cop walking down the street. And sometimes, you know, the cop is just trying to interact with the community, wants to stop and talk to some people and hear things that are important to neighborhoods that aren't necessarily that someone would think that would be worthy of calling the police department to file a complaint, like something that's like an immediate emergency. You know, one of the things that, you know, that we have done in the Plattsburgh Police Department are have the areas of primary responsibility. So our officers, they float all around the city. You know, they know every street, every alley, every nook and cranny of the city. But we also like to have people be responsible for certain areas. So when, you know, they're on days off and they come back to work, you know, they know that, hey, in this zone, something may have happened in another zone. But it's nice to have a little bit of intimacy with the people that you're protecting.
Chief Rasico, you have been very involved in the last few years with the groups that are trying to deal with the addiction crisis that so many communities are seeing. Even after you retire and move on to the new job, are you still going to be involved in those groups?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I love Plattsburgh. I'm gonna be working from this community. I love to travel some, but you know, I really want to continue to help. And you know, the opioid problem and the addiction problem that we have in our community is very real. And I think that maybe there's a significant portion of the population that don't understand how much of a crisis it really is. And you know, our downtown revitalization grants, all the things that we're looking to do to bring people back to our community, to stay in the community, all the things that everybody agrees upon that are really important things for our growth, fundamentally are challenged if this opioid problem can't be controlled. Now, that's a collaborative effort. You know, you've heard myself and many other law enforcement people say you can't arrest yourself out of this problem. Absolutely correct. We need to get as much resources as we can into treatment. It's a very serious withdrawal. It's a very, very tough road. It's not a social thing where you say to somebody, you just got to be strong and you got to fight it. It doesn't work that way. Law enforcement's function is to make it difficult to get the drugs, make it difficult for them to relapse, make situations where we're actually arresting people, getting them into the court system, so the district attorney's office and the court system can evaluate if it needs to go to drug court or if it needs to go through the normal penal system. But no way will this be accomplished if one group is isolated from the other. Now, all the parties, all the major players involved are aware of this. There's a lot of leadership from, you know, Andy Wiley, the district attorney, who's goes to these meetings and pushes us to know the mental health and the medical providers are on board. You know, police just have to do their part, and realizing that, you know, our aggressive investigations, our follow through is so instrumental in helping those people get into the system to get help. Without it, it is a cancer that would be untreated, which would be fatal to this community.